This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Dr. Mitch Perlstein with us on the program. Mitch is founder and president of the Center of the American Experiment, a nonpartisan think tank in Golden Valley, Minnesota, that brings conservative and free market ideas to bear on society's most difficult problems. Mitch formerly served in the U.S. Department of Education under Presidents Reagan and Bush, and he spent 4 years as an editorial writer and columnist for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He is the author of several books, including From Family Collapse to America's Decline in 2011, and his latest book is a follow-up to that entitled Broken Bonds, What Family Fragmentation Means for America's Future. And we're going to be talking today with Mitch about his new book. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us on Family Policy Matters.
Great pleasure, John. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Now, in preparation for this book, I understand that you interviewed about 40 experts from both the political left and the right about the prospects of the American family. Despite the different perspectives I'm sure these experts held about the state of the American family, did you see a common theme that emerged from your interviews?
Let's say there were two. Well, first of all, they're all brilliant. It's not an overstatement from across the country. The two issues would be, one, how does massive rates of family fragmentation, what do those rates suggest about the future of our country? Good things, bad things. And overwhelmingly, although not unanimously, people thought not good things at all. The one area, perhaps, where they were most uniform has to do with the degree to which classes are dividing in this country. Or more specifically, I ask questions such as, to what extent do you think Americans in the main have an adequate sense of the daily lives lived by poor people? And everyone I asked that question to would say, Americans in the main do not have a clue. And the reason I ask these kinds of questions, if I were to just sit down with someone, no matter how smart they might be, and say, hi, how are you? Tell me what the country is going to look like. It could be a very short conversation. But if I were to ask questions about the current situation, and more specifically, the ways in which family fragmentation is affecting us now, educationally and every other way, and if I work from the assumption that family fragmentation problems just feed on themselves, generation after generation getting worse and worse. And if people are now saying that, in part because of family fragmentation, that most Americans don't really have a decent sense of how poor people live, then chances are very strong that down the road, Americans in the main now, won't have a good sense of how poor people live. Men who have been incarcerated, for example, children growing up under very, very difficult circumstances. People on the left generally focus exclusively on the economy and elitists and those Republicans and those conservatives and those tax policies in Wall Street. And my argument is, no, family fragmentation is an absolutely central reason why there are these growing cleavages in this country.
Now, would you define the term family fragmentation for us? Our listeners may believe they have a sense of what you mean by that, but I think it would be helpful for us if you could unpack that a little bit and help us understand exactly what you're speaking about and what factors contribute to family fragmentation in American society.
Sure. Family fragmentation, it's the new term of art for family breakdown. So essentially what I'm talking about, first of all, would be enormous numbers of children born outside of marriage. I'm also talking about divorce. I'm also talking about cohabiting situations, which in and of themselves are not fragmented, but cohabiting relationships tend to end a lot quicker than marriages do. So think about non-marital births, divorce, and people moving in and out of relationships. A very good sociologist, Andrew Cherlin, talks about churning relationships. People in the United States move in and out of relationships about faster than any people around the world. As to why all this is the case, I have long divided the explanations into three parts, and I'm not the only one. One would have to do with policy. Conservatives like talking about how welfare policies, albeit with the best of intentions, have led to family breakdown because it is now possible for women to raise their children without the help of a father because of welfare payments and the like. And too many men are more than happy just to skip out. Economically, one can talk now about how it is increasingly difficult for men without very much education to get a good job, build a good career, to be marriageable in the eyes of many women. That's another reason, and there are other economic reasons. But at the end of the day, I'm a culturalist. What's in the very air that we breathe that talks about what's responsible and irresponsible, smart, not so smart, right, wrong? And the fact of the matter is, it is simply now okay in many, many parts of this country, many, many communities, to bring babies into this world outside of marriage. So many people do it because they can.
Now, Mitch, I know that you produced a report based on your book that offers 9 suggestions for how we as a nation can respond to some of these problems, the problem of family fragmentation. The first recommendation is that we retrieve our voice about marriage. Explain, if you would, what you mean by that.
Let me give you a current example in Minnesota. The Minneapolis Star Tribune has run a number of stories over the last several months about how child protection has failed miserably when it comes to over 50 children who in the last decade have died, even though their cases have been known to various child protection authorities throughout the state. And Minnesota is not the only state suffering that problem. I know Colorado is doing a major review right now. So there's a major review going on now. The governor appointed a task force to make certain that this doesn't happen again. And I can tell you, best of my knowledge, this very distinguished task force, 30-some-odd people, they've been meeting for several months. The number of times they have noted that children who come into this life outside of marriage have a far larger chance of being abused and killed. The number of times they have noted this connection is an absolute zero. And this is not at all uncommon.
Another important suggestion you make in the book and in this report is to more effectively help troubled or potentially troubled marriages. What are some specific recommendations that you give for helping troubled marriages?
Well, I want to return to it, talking about the responsibilities of religious institutions and leaders. But let me just cite one fascinating idea now. I have a colleague, Professor William Daugherty, Bill Daugherty at the University of Minnesota, a wonderful social scientist, family therapist, who is of the mind that we will simply never have enough professionals out there, marriage counselors and the rest, to do what needs to be done to the extent that people want to go see such a person if their marriage is in some difficulty. So he's borrowing from an Australian program where it doesn't deal with marriage precisely, deals with mental health. And the idea is to train in some adequate way rank and file people to be good ears, to be of help to friends and relatives who are having mental health issues, because it's understood that people, when they're having troubles, are much more likely to talk to friends and relatives than they are to go see an official therapist. Well, he wants to expand this idea to include marriage. Marital first responders is the name of this idea that is just beginning to take root, to help people who want to help their friends and their relatives strengthen their marriages, to get some training in order to do that. And I don't know if this is going to work in any large-scale way, but it's a wonderfully grass-rooted idea.
Now, you mentioned speaking about religious institutions and how they can get more involved in the effort to restore marriages. Based on your research, your interviews with these experts and others, what do you recommend with respect to the role that religious institutions can play in this? And also, are there ways that the government can help religious institutions fill this role within our society?
Well, to the second part, I just want government to stay out of the way and not just some easy conservative rhetoric. In this instance, government should simply stay out of the way. I am particularly interested in what churches and other religious institutions and religious leaders of all types can do to help matters. One of the interviewees in Broken Bonds, some listeners may know her, Krista Tippett, who is on National Public Radio. She was going through a divorce a number of years ago, and she's a very religiously animated woman. And she said that her church at the time was wonderfully supportive as she was going through her divorce. And hindsight suggests that they should not have been all that supportive. They should have, she says now, her friends and the church itself, I suspect, should have been more forceful in gracious ways in trying to keep her and her husband together. It's a fascinating thought. In many ways, when I talk about retrieving one's voice about marriage, it applies absolutely to religious leaders who are simply not that forward in talking about why this is so important.
Well, that certainly makes perfect sense. Well, is there hope for the future? And if so, what words of encouragement would you provide to our listeners that, yes, we can change these trends, we can turn them around and set our country on a positive path where there are strengthened families and those bonds will strengthen our society?
I'm happy you're asking that. I'd like to finish off on a happier note. Tough to suggest that people buy the book. It was going to be such a downer. One thing is organizations like yours keep on doing what you're doing, holding up the light. But let me give you an answer. I've used this on and on over the years. I had a chance to interview Bill Bennett at the U.S. Department of Education when he was secretary in the mid-80s. And I said, Mr. Secretary, it seems to me what we've been talking about is not just a bunch of policies and rules and regs and budgets and the like. We've been talking about the very culture. How do you change the very culture? And he said it was a very good question. And the best answer he had was that you say what you believe in your heart to be true, and you say it over and over and over again. And without oversimplifying matters, in many ways, that is what I have sought to do for a number of decades now. Any number of people will tell me, thanks for saying what I'm saying and doing what I am doing, when it is not terribly complicated. It's in many ways restating old truths that for reasons of political correctness and the like, people are not talking about anymore or writing about. We need to.
Well, I think that's a great admonition for our listeners, and we really do need to speak the truth. And even though we may think that that truth is self-evident, based on political correctness, as you've said, and other factors in our culture, the media and others, oftentimes what we think is obvious may not always be obvious or accepted by the general culture. So it is important that we get out there and we speak about the importance of families and family structure and marriage in our society. Now, we do certainly want to encourage our listeners, Mitch, to get a copy of your new book, Broken Bonds, and to learn more about the Center of the American Experiment. Where can they go to get a copy of your book and also to learn more about the center?
Appreciate that. The easiest way of getting the book is Amazon, and it's Mitch Perlstein, P-E-A-R-L-S-T-E-I-N, and Broken Bonds, What Family Fragmentation Means for America's Future. And for the center, real simple website, americanexperiment.org. And we have been up and running come next month. It'll be 25 years. Just like the John Locke Foundation, by the way, we both opened up in 1990.
Well, Dr. Mitch Perlstein, thank you so much for being back with us on Family Policy Matters and for sharing insights from your new book, Broken Bonds. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time and for your insights.
Thank you, sir.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.